better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's go to the phone lines. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, John. I just want to get my beef in here.
Go ahead.
These NFL players, NBA players, whatever, who sign contracts, and then a couple years into their contract, they say, I'm not playing because I want more money. Now, I grew up when you signed a contract, you fulfilled it, and when you got the end of your contract, then you negotiate. But they, I don't know, it's just like they're saying, I'm bigger than life, look at me, give me what I want or I'm going to go kicking and screaming in the corner. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And another thing is ESPN. I used to watch ESPN, but I just can't. They've run it. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, I can't watch that. I can't watch. Used to have Sports Center and give the sports, and now it's just, I just can't hack it, guys. That's my beef. You guys have a good day.
Appreciate it, Danny. Appreciate the phone call.
I don't know. We've had thousands of people call Tommy pissed off that Stephen A. Smith is no longer on our airwaves, and me and Phil are filling up that slot. So I feel like Danny's in the minority there.
Of all of the when we've made programming changes over the years, and I like Stephen A. I think he's a very talented host.
He's good at what he does.
We got the least amount of people that were mad. I mean, when we put the Morning Rush on 15 years ago, people were generally upset. We took, at the time, Mike and Mike off. We got, 100 calls. When Colin Cowherd left and they put Dan Le Batard on, we got calls. We still get calls about Le Batard.
Yeah.
When we took Stephen A. off the ESPN Arkansas network of stations, not one phone call came in.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
You can derive from that what you want.
Yeah.
But I think he is the best talent they have on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. In fact, Tommy, I think that
he does the job better than anybody.
We actually get messages and phone calls about the Will Cain show for that 1 hour that we have him on.
Yeah, yeah. We got to find somebody to host that.
Yeah,
two to three.
Yeah, because we're certainly not extending halftime. That's for sure. It's funny that Danny says that because I feel that there's a lot of people that feel the same way, Danny, for sure. And appreciate you calling in and giving your beef on this What's Your Beef Wednesday. I do want to shift gears a little bit though, and get to some of the things that Chad Morris had to say yesterday in his press conference, specifically about a particular player that every coach that's been in Arkansas, which is two, I guess, Brett Bielema and Chad Morris, has had some beefs of their own with this particular player, and it is C.J. O'Grady.
Well, I think we've got some competition in that room, and I think it's iron sharpens iron. You know, we got a standard that we set we're going to play at, and you do that, and then you'll be running with a group you want to run with. If not, we'll let you run with other groups. That's kind of where we're at with CJ, and CJ is a senior, and CJ's got to decide if this is exactly what he wants to do. Our standard's not going to change. You know, he's one of the best football players in the country, and we're going to treat him that way. So we're going to see how he responds.
I don't understand it, Tommy. I don't understand this. First off, CJ O'Grady's a fantastic player, and you heard it from Chad Morris right there. He's a guy that looks the part of being a all-world tight end. He's got athleticism. He's got great hands. He can do it. He can pull it off. But for whatever reason, since he has arrived on campus, there has always been issues that's been holding him back. And it's issues created on his own fruition. So it's not against anybody else. But I just sit there and I scratch my head. It's like, man, at what point is CJ O'Grady going to just take over and be that guy? Because for whatever reason, he can't take that next step, where it's such a shame because he is such a talented player.
Yeah, and you wonder, is there a breakdown in communication, relationship? Obviously, there's been a change in coaching staff. What is the issue that they can't seem to connect on? And I know it's a whole different deal, whole different level, but I know you guys watched Last Chance U. I've kind of gotten in. I'm kind of been late to the party, but I just think it's interesting how some players on that particular show when we get to see a lot more behind the scenes. Do exactly what the coaches say. They're on time for meetings. And then you got players that can't show up for meetings on time and want to argue with the coaches and want to have sarcastic responses to what the coach is asking of them. And there's no respect for authority from some. I'm going to make a giant assumption, but I think I'm probably right. There's personality. I don't know what CJ's issue is. I'm not saying he's doing this, but you wonder if there's some kind, because you see players on that show that just can't connect with a coach, and it's just a constant butting of heads. It almost feels like CJ's just had a constant butting of heads for whatever reason and can't get it all together. I don't know if he's butting heads with himself, a coach, the system. I don't know what, you know, because it's going to be a big unfulfilled potential of talent if it doesn't come together this year.
Yeah, and that's the shame of it all, because, and you brought up Last Chance U, which I think is a great comparison, because that's always how I felt when watching those shows, is you see just how many athletes there are. And like we've talked about, Tommy, me, you, Ty, none of us played college sports. We love sports. We loved playing sports when we were in public school and all that. But yeah, you know, we never got to that level. And it's just, you just think back, he's like, what would you have done to be able to have the physical attributes, the physical ability to be able to play a sport that you love? I mean, I would do anything to be able to have the physical appearance and the physicality to play college football. That was my ultimate dream. But it didn't work out for me, and that's fine. I'm hosting radio now. Second best thing there. But
I would argue
that. And then you see these guys that have it, man. You see these guys that they were blessed by God to have this makeup, these physical attributes that give them and put them in a position to where they can make a lot of money playing a sport that many people love. And their whole mindset and mentality can't push them into that next level to where they got to put in the work, they got to stay focused, they got to understand what they have in front of them and how important it is, and they take advantage of that opportunity. And that just is so frustrating. And, you know, you could use this as a What's Your Beef Wednesday, because I'm sure a lot of people can and have. But it's just so frustrating to watch that and to see that and to look back at it from my perspective and be like, man, what I would do if you could just put my mind into that guy's body, it would be a whole new animal. And it seems like that happens so, so often, especially today's day and age in sports.
Well, I mean, I know you remember, but when Matt Jones was here, a lot of people, and that was always a challenge, is he was a great game day player, but, you know, practice not so much.
Yes.
And people were like, and then, you know, we know how the story ends with Matt, but there was a lot of people that felt that, because there was a guy that probably had as much talent as anyone we've ever seen put a Razorback jersey on. And the constant complaint was he didn't practice hard enough, you know. But when the lights came on, he was there. You know, and I think that's hard for coaches to deal with. Maybe you got some of these guys that, you know, they got so much talent, they don't have to bear down in the weight room. They don't have to bear down in a meeting room or a practice field. The problem is Arkansas doesn't have enough of those guys with enough talent, but it's always a challenge. And he was talking yesterday in his press conference about the great ones they've coached, the Deshaun Watsons, the Taj Boyds, the Cortland Suttons. He went through a list of them. He said, you know, one of the things about a lot of those guys is, they'd come to us and say, hold us to a higher standard. You know, press on us more. And he said the byproduct of that, and this was Chad Morse yesterday, was when you hold a guy that's got clearly more talent than the rest of his teammates to a higher standard, the other teammates around him realize they can't get away with anything. Because if they're going to take a Cortland Sutton or a Taj Boyd and you're going to pick him apart like that, what are you going to do to me as the true freshman or the redshirt sophomore or whatever? So it does set a standard for the rest of the team when you got a guy that's clearly that talented and you hold him to a higher standard. That's how you elevate your program.
Yeah, and you've seen it over time, and it's not just in football, but it's just in sports in general. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I honestly don't know, because I think that you can look at it from different perspectives. But there's no doubt that of the more talented player, the player that brings you the victories, that brings you the attention, the promotion, everything, they're always going to have to be treated a little different, because if you look at the high school level, Tommy, it seems like that if a player is not getting what the player feels like he deserves or that he needs, he'll go somewhere else.
Well,
I mean, high school players can essentially transfer to other schools. They can go through loopholes. And then it's as a coach, you're like, this guy can help me win. This guy can get me to the state title game, help me win a state title. So I got to make sure that he's happy. But at the same time, I don't want to sacrifice all that for the sake of the team and treating this guy different. So it's like there's a lot of power in the players' hands too.
But the difference in what Chad Morris was talking about yesterday, the great ones, the ones he was listing yesterday and talking about in his press conference, they demanded to be coached that way. They asked for it. They wanted it. And that's the difference between maybe not good and great, but great and greater. You know, it's just the way you got to be wired. And you're right. Everybody thinks because you are maybe a little more talented as a football player or a basketball player that you get special treatment by not being pushed as hard. Chad Morris's point yesterday was when you're a great player, we push you harder. And that you're right. Society thinks, well, if you've got this much talent to carry you, you don't need to practice as hard. You don't need to lift as many weights. You don't need to, you know, have as many meetings and so forth and so on. And he was talking just the opposite yesterday. So.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a frustrating thing, especially since we're talking specifically about CJ O'Grady in this situation where, I mean, the guy's a senior. This is it. Yep. This is his last, I don't know if it's not last chance you, but it's his last chance to take that next step. And if he wants to be an NFL player, which I think we all agree, even Chad Morris agrees, that he has that ability to play in the NFL, to be one of many great tight ends coming from Arkansas, coming from the state of Arkansas, to further his career in the NFL. If he's going to do that, this is his last opportunity to make it happen.
Well, what's the old adage? Good is the enemy of great.
Yep.
You know, you've got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
And because if you think the demands are too hard now, wait till they're paying you about $1 million a year and see what they want out of you at that point.
Yeah.
When you're not limited to 20 hours of practice a week. Then see what it's like. You know, they don't just hand out those multi-million-dollar contracts to the good ones. Only the great ones get it.
That's right. And if you need any examples, look at guys that didn't have their heart into practice, didn't have their heart into doing the small little things. How long did they last? Not very long. So you just can't have that mentality for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We've been recapping a lot of the things that Chad Morris said yesterday, but I want to get into something different. It's something that I think is pretty incredible. For those of you who have been around in the state of Arkansas for quite some time now, you all know about the Little Rock Touchdown Club and this great event that's been going on for a while. And David Basil does a great job with it where week after week during football season, they have different distinguished guests come to Little Rock and speak at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. And every time around this year, they release the names of who's going to be speaking this year. And it seems like, and I'm not kidding about this, folks, seems like every single year, the list gets more and more impressive. Now, we'll go through some of these names, but I'll kind of give you a rundown of how it's going to look because one of the things that they do every year, and I believe this is right, they always have the Razorback football coach and the Razorback athletic director speak at least one of these weeks every year. It seems to be the commonality. But let me just go through this and tell me if you hear a name that really blows your mind here. First, Chad Morris will be speaking on Tuesday, August 20th to really set everything off. The next Tuesday, on the 26th, 1-5. Ryan Mallett will be speaking. So pretty say that'd be interesting.
Good start.
Yeah, not bad. The next Tuesday on September 3rd will be Mark Richt. Also very impressive. Mm-hmm. Guy who coached at Georgia, had a lot of success there, coached Miami a little bit too. Someone who's pretty well known. But folks, it's September 9th that changes everything. First off, it's on a Monday. And second off, it's Bobby Petrino. That's not
Bobby bleeping Petrino.
That is not a mistype. That is not a mistake. Bobby Petrino will be speaking in Little Rock at the Little Rock Touchdown Club on September 9th. Man, oh, man.
I mean, great invitation for Basil and the Little Rock Touchdown Club. And you've worked around those guys some when you were working at the Buzz. I mean, That's really the one, and I know the Northwest Arkansas Touchdown Club's not going to have meetings this year, may come back, and they had some great guests, and I know those two things work together. So Basil's done a great job, and you got some other, maybe, honestly, bigger names in college football than Bobby Petrino.
Oh, yeah, we haven't gotten to those yet.
Right, that are on this list. It's a blockbuster lineup, but this is the one that gets all the attention because, I mean, certainly you should extend this invitation, and probably has been extended before. But I am surprised Bobby Petrino accepted the invite.
I'm floored.
It's not that they would invite him and not that somebody wouldn't want him, because it's probably the most interesting and compelling hour and a half of the Touchdown Club all year. I'm just surprised he would accept the invitation.
And that's where I'm at, too. I'm not surprised that they invited him. Surprised that with you, that he is showing up, because as we know, when Petrino was the coach at Arkansas, he wasn't the biggest on speaking engagements. He wasn't the most guy. He wasn't the best guy.
He's not a great public speaker.
No, he's not a great public speaker. He doesn't like interacting with fans and with people.
Common people.
Yeah, common people, common folk. I mean, when they did the Bobby Petrino show, I guess back then it was on every Wednesday night. When they did that show, I remember going to those sometimes. And he would show up like 5 minutes after it started, and as soon as he got done speaking, he was out the back door. That's just who he was. That's how he was always handling those type of engagements. And this isn't something he's forced to do like he was in a lot of speaking engagement as a football coach to impress the donors and all that. He was always forced to do those, just like every coach is, because, hey, you got to make these guys happy. You got to make the fans happy. You got to have good appearances. But this is just... this is your deal. You agreed to this. You didn't have to do this. You could have said no easily. And I could be wrong, but I don't think he's really fighting for money.
No.
He got a buyout from Louisville. He's made plenty of money over his lifetime, so it can't be that. I'm just curious. There's got to be some motive. There's got to be something behind this of a reason why he's doing this. Because, listen, I don't know Bobby Petrino personally, but I do know him as a coach, and just like you do, Tommy, just like many people do. There's got to be something more to this of why he's speaking in front of people, just other than the fact that, I'd love to be back in Arkansas and speak in front of a big audience.
Boys, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall or hearing that conversation that Basil pitched him or whoever it was? Maybe it was Stevens down there in Little Rock. Because I would find that that conversation fascinating to see what was actually said to convince a guy that a lot of people think torpedoed the program to come back and speak, where he's going to get looks. He might not necessarily get the questions from fans, but he's definitely not going to be welcome back to the state of Arkansas. Well, I think we know that.
Bobby Petrino has an image issue. I think we'd all agree that.
Why, Tommy, whatever do you mean?
Well, I mean, that's the simplest part of it. But how do you rehabilitate? How do you change your image in the public eye? You start by engaging people, by showing some warmth and some charm, by being in front of them, by having candid talks, by, trying to be a little more, and I'm not sure more genuine is what he needs to be, because I think genuine, at his core, he's an a-hole,
Yeah.
And that's just really who he is as a person. So he can't show up and do that, but he has an image problem. And if you want to coach again, you got to fix that image. Because there's plenty of people in coach football. The shines off of him is this genius. Now, I think people that know football understand Bobby Petrino can coach football. He understands football. There's no issue when it comes to that. But there's other guys that understand it well, and there's young guys coming up that are just less trouble. And that's his problem. If he wants to get back into coaching, be it a coordinator spot or a head coaching job somewhere, I think there's certain things he has to do to rehabilitate his image, to make him more attractive to school presidents and ADs and decision makers. And this is maybe part of that process. I'm trying to figure out his motivation, why he would want to do it. Because like you said, the money he'll make doing this, while it would be, month-changing money for a lot of us, a few thousand bucks or whatever he's going to make, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever they pay for him to come in, plus his expenses, is a drop in the bucket to a guy that's made millions.
Yep.
So it's not about the money. So why is he doing it? The motivation, I believe, is he's got to change his image. And, you look back. There was a time when Houston Nutt left the state and people weren't happy with him. And there was a time when Brett Bielema left, John Pelfrey left the state. People weren't happy. There's a lot of former coaches, and we could go through a list of them. Mm-hmm. And eventually the fan base came around, and ended up having respect and would welcome these guys back for either reunions or speaking engagements or whatever. Bobby Petrino and Brett Bielema, maybe two coaches, be it basketball or football, that may never see the open arms of this state, but this would be a way to test those waters, so to speak, in a safe environment.
Well, see, and I'm just going to tell you, I disagree with the notion that Razorback fans would not have open arms to Bobby Petrino, and here's why. Here's why. Yes, he screwed up. Yes, he messed up the program. Yes, all of that. Completely agree. But what a lot of Razorback fans remember and know is that the last time they were relevant in any respect in football was when this man was the coach. And his final year, and we're not talking about off-the-field stuff. We all know how that happened, and we all know how he is. But on the field, the last impression that Razorback fans have of him is a number five ranking and the final polls of the season with a Cotton Bowl victory going 11-2.
That's the neck brace.
Yeah, well, that, of course, but that's what I'm saying. Like, on the field stuff, not off the field. On the field, that's the last impression people have. Yeah, and so I feel like with that being fresh on a lot of Razorback fans' minds, a lot of them, I'm not saying they'll just go up and give them a big old bear hug and say, oh, it's good to see you, Bobby. But I think that there are a lot of people that appreciate what he did because, as we've seen every year since then, Tommy, it's been bad. It's been nowhere near that. And the fact that he was able to do that and be that impressive and have that much success in a time where the SEC West specifically was as good as it's ever been as a division, you were not only a team that was competing for the West, you were a team that was given the respect nationally, so much so that in the final regular season week of 2011, you were the number three team in the country with only two teams in front of you being in your same division. Some people, not all, I'm not saying all Razorback fans will be this way, but I think a lot of Razorback fans will be more appreciative of what Bobby did on the field, but also still take issue, of course, with what he did off the field.
I agree. People respect what he did on the field, but you got to take the bad with the good. And, you know, the line, the public scandal that we all know about is what led to basically the better part of a decade of putting this program in the toilet. You know, now you can say, well, that was really the bad hire, Brett Bielema. I agree, but it all set all of that in motion. So if you take the bad with the good, there's going to be some people that certainly have issue with that. I don't know that he'll ever be welcomed back in the way like a Houston Nutt, I think, has now turned the corner. When you say Houston Nutt's pretty much a welcome figure in our state?
I would say more Central Arkansas. I wouldn't say completely. But, yeah, it's definitely gotten better, for sure.
It's gotten better.
For sure.
Do you ever see a day and time where it gets better at any corner of this state for Brett Bielema?
No. Because with Nutt, he at least had good moments. Bielema didn't.
Right. And with Petrino, you did have some good moments. But the other thing about our state, we're evangelical now. And we believe in right and wrong. And we believe that you shouldn't run around on your wife. And you shouldn't do certain things that certainly brought shame and heartache for this football program that we all love so much. And, I mean, I think when you roll it all up in one ball of wax, there's going to be some fans that just can't get past that.
Yeah.
And I totally get that.
Yeah.
But I think this is part of Bobby trying to fix his image, to make him more amenable to future opportunities. Because I bet his phone's not getting rung off the hook to come coach football teams right now, at least as a head coach.
No, not at all.
And he's not a lieutenant.
No,
he's not. He's an alpha dog, man. He's got to lead the pack. He's got to be the head coach.
Yeah,
and I don't see him surviving very long with anybody as their OC.
No. And that's just not his personality. And we can end on this note, Tommy. I'm just telling you right now. I don't know what the hottest ticket has been so far for the Little Rock Touchdown Club in their history. But I'd be hard pressed to think that there's going to be a more difficult ticket to get than on September 9th when Bobby Petrino comes speak, because it's one thing to have, because listen, they got Urban Meyer coming. Like, we all know the type of news that he's been in, the headlines he's been making, not exactly the best of there, but they got some other ones, and we'll mention some of the other big names that are going to be in it. But Tommy, if you'll allow me, if I can find a way into that Little Rock Touchdown Club event with Bobby, I will wear a Florida Gator hat. I will. I'll ask a question. Watch me. I'll do it. And see if he has any response.
Video? We got to figure out a way to make this work for us, where we get more hype and more publicity for the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what it's going
to
be all about.
The show.
That's what it's going to be all about. You know, I made Bobby Petrino laugh one time.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Go to the phone lines and welcome in a guy by the name of D. Clay Henry, who's the Hawks Illustrated publisher. I don't have a great intro for you just when you're calling in, Clay. I'm sorry. I'll work on that. Please forgive me. Don't yell at me. Don't cuss me out. I'll make sure it's better next time, okay?
Well, okay, John. I'm going to let you slide today. But I will say, Tommy, if I am the great Clay Henry, I think I need one of those endless pools. And last weekend when Bo Madley and his son Ty were at our house on the North Fork River, he said my backyard needed a pool. He said it. I mean, he looked at it and goes, pool fit right there. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tommy, is there something in the contract?
I can see Clay Henry swimming laps at daylight.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, well,
just keep negotiating, Clay.
Yeah, just keep that up, Clay. And
we haven't signed any paperwork yet. We're just kind of rolling along. And your day of reckoning is
coming. It's by design, by the way. You think you've got the upper hand? We're just letting you think that for a while.
So. No, it's all right. I get it.
So
I trust you, Tommy. So far,
well, you're the one. You're the one guy. Hey, Chad Moore's talk. Today, spent about almost 20 minutes with the media. There's a lot of good stuff. I thought you asked a great question about toughness and is he getting what he wants. I want to get to that, but we've been talking about Cheyenne O'Grady, and I thought some of his comments were very interesting about, you know, here's a guy that's going into his senior year that should be one of the best players, and he spoke about the talent and, hey, it's all there, but they're just not quite getting everything they want out of it. What did you make of Coach Morris's comments yesterday about his tight end?
Oh, I was just stunned, Tommy. I've never heard anybody talk about Cheyenne O'Grady or CJ, you know, with anything but he's been perfect. He's the model. No, I'm joking. The dude's been a knucklehead since his high school days. I mean, it's like what he got the personal foul or the unsportsmanlike last year for dancing. That was right after Chad had told him, hey, it looks like you're about to dance on that touchdown. If you score again, don't dance. He danced. Well, I mean, what? That's the knucklehead of knucklehead moves. Right after your head coach says don't do it, you do it. And that's been Cheyenne. You know, I can remember talking to people at Fayetteville High and said routinely he'd go out to practice and say, hey, I'm just going to catch him one-handed today. Well, you can get by with that in high school. They told him not to. But he went to Arkansas and did that one day in practice. And Bill said, what are you doing? You know, I think he demoted him, you know, to last team or something. Catch him with two hands. And there's times when somebody's got your arm and that's the hand you use. The other one. It's like, but you have to catch it. But, I mean, he has the ability and he has, you know, his – physical attributes are magnificent. His mental side is not magnificent. And, I mean, I think they're trying to hold him accountable. And, you know, it's been like this, and they'll get him right. But it's going to be all year, though. I mean, that's my guess. What I was listening to Chad is that he responds, but we have to do this. And we're going to do it, and we're going to do it every time it's necessary because, guess what, this is our culture. You can't let C.J. O'Grady, you know, one-handed in practice, and that's just a metaphor. So I understood it, and I kind of chuckled a little bit when the questions were coming because he's a knucklehead, and he's not a bad kid. Doesn't do anything to hurt anybody else, but his decisions sometimes are emotional, and that's not how you need to conduct your business. Off the field, he doesn't do anything that gets, you know, causes embarrassment. Next question, Tommy.
I'll tell you what, Clay.
You sense my frustration in talking about CJ?
Yeah, no, we don't want that. It is What's Your Beef Wednesday, but we won't have to dive into that for you, Clay. I did want to ask you, and this is something that Tommy alluded to as well, just about, you asked Chad Morris about toughness on this team, mental toughness specifically. What did you make of his response and his reaction to your question there in the press conference yesterday?
Well, it was what you hoped you would hear, that, yeah, they're going forward. But there wasn't any doubt that, you know, they turned it up, you know, in January. You know, the players have all said it. And they, you know, I wrote about Wilson Matthews. And it's not Wilson Matthews stuff, because a couple of players had read my story. T.J. Smith is like, hey, we didn't have any puke buckets out there. I mean, it wasn't any of that. But it was stuff like, all right, we're taking away the jerseys and the gear and, you know, no Razorback logos, no Nike stuff. And it, you know, they worked through. And without question, in the spring, the grind that they put them through as far as the physical nature of what they did was designed to get both physical toughness and mental toughness. And you bring in Navy SEALs, that's mental toughness. That's what all that stuff was about. And when you have that with a team, and you have to go through adversity on a daily basis, you know, it draws you closer. And, I mean, sports teams have been doing that, you know, whether it's ropes, courses, and, you know, all that kind of, you know, and they've done things to, you know, bond the older players with the younger players in situations and trying to draw this. So when you get in the fourth quarter and stuff in going great, that you're like, you're not ready to, you know, throw in the towel. And we've seen it in the last two or three years. I mean, they're physically outmanned sometimes, but they've been mentally outmanned, John. And I think that's what they, you know, they're trying to fix.
Yeah, because
saw some heat for the first time in camp.
Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, we saw some heat for the first time in camp, Clay, and saw a few players that didn't make it through practice. Coach Morris has been talking about wanting some heat, wanting some adversity to press these guys. He got that for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, and that's nothing to be alarmed about. That's, you know, that's kind of the nature of what camp is. And you just watch them and make sure that, you know, that you got them all. You know, when you see a guy starting to fail like that, well, then, you get him off field and get him on IVs. You know, he might miss a day, but that's going on all across the country. You just want to make sure you recognize those, you know, those warning signs. And yeah, and I think that, and it wasn't severe yesterday. That's a 10 a.m. practice. I'm headed over there this morning to watch a little bit. A little bit's all we see, 20 minutes, but it's still, you know, they do team stuff in that first 20 minutes that you can get a glimpse of, all right, who's with who, how they're lining up. And, you know, it's like, and then the other thing that we all just kind of go gaga with, you know, when Nick Starkel lets loose one. But, yeah, the heat's a real deal, and it's 81 in Fayetteville right now at 7:45 a.m., so it's going to be humid and a little bit, tough for them today. But that's when they finish at noon, that's what they want, and that's what coaches have always asked for. I've never heard a coach who's like, hey, we'd like to have 75 degrees for training day. I want it to be hot, because, hey, there's going to be some hot games, some hot afternoons in September, and you got to practice and play in it. And of course, you know, we've raised our kids in the world of air conditioning, so that's why the heat's important in August for training a football team.
All right, Clay, I want to ask you about this. I'm sure you saw the news yesterday, and something we've been discussing this morning, of the Little Rock Touchdown Club and their lineup announced. Of course, they always have great guests down there, but the one guest that really stood out on September 9th, Bobby Petrino, is coming back to Arkansas to speak in front of Arkansans. I mean, first off, how shocked were you that he's actually agreed to speak in front of people like that? And second off, how interesting and how intrigued are you to go and see and hear what Bobby has to say?
Stunned. I was absolutely my mouth fell open. And kudos to David Basil for pulling it off. And I don't know what he painted, but I bet it's a chunk. I mean, those coaches all get different prices. You know, they've got negotiated little numbers. And I suspect that Bobby's you know, going to get plenty of money from Louisville. So it's not like, well, he's hurting, but hey, you know, a dollar is a dollar. But here's my prediction. It is going to be mundane and boring. There's not going to be any electricity. He's not coming in on a Harley. He's not going to be in a neck brace. I mean, I'll be stunned. Now, it might be entertaining with some of the things that Rex Nelson says in the front, but, you know, I bet Rex tones it down a little bit. And Bobby will be mundane. He'll go through some prepared statements, and then he'll take some questions. And, you know, I think he'll say all the things that you would think he would say, like, hey, you know, I'm supposed to take the arrow in the forehead. I did. I haven't talked to Jeff Long. No, I haven't talked to anybody in Arkansas. And this is a good chance to talk to everybody. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, he's going to wave to everybody, and we won't see him again. and you won't interview him on this show. I do not think.
Well, Clay, so, and also I thought it was kind of funny too, because I feel like I should show up in a Florida Gator hat and ask him a question. Do you think I should do that?
It'll just go right over him. Oh, I mean, it really will. I mean, I can remember asking him about going back to Athens, you know, that first year. It's like the first time you've been back to, you know, to Georgia after you left the Falcons. And, you know, do you think it'll be a hostile crowd? And he just kind of looked at me and he goes, well, when you go on the road in the SEC, it's a hostile crowd, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man, he didn't even bat an eye. And so anything that you think is going to cause him to, you know, to get off an even keel, you know, his little, you know, his, and I fully expect somewhere in there, he's like, hey, guys, can I just drop some plays for y'all on the big board? Because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll acknowledge, you know, his good friend David. You know, he knew David well. You know, spoke at the Touchdown Club. He might, you know, look out in the crowd, you know, and find, you know, Warren Stevens or, you know, Joe Ford. Or, you know, he will acknowledge some people, I think, and, you know, say, you know, y'all are my friends and I appreciate it. I mean, that's what I suspect to be, but I just don't. I've never seen him too often get off that little, you know, just easy, you know, it's almost like a quiet demeanor when he's speaking. Mm. It isn't like the real Bobby Petrino. He does that public speaking in a low key way, very, you know, would you say modulated?
I mean, oh, yeah.
He controls it. And doesn't ever get. He'll look at you, and then he'll look away, and then he'll answer, and then he'll look. You know, that's what I expect, and I don't think a Florida Gator hat would catch him off guard, John.
Yeah, well, I guess not, but it's always worth a shot, and it'll be interesting no matter what. And it'll be interesting to hear what Bobby has to say.
I would say if there's somebody that shows up in a neck brace, and you know, in a and a rash on his face, they won't let him in. They'll have to be out in the parking lot to get up and close. Yeah, you know, it's going to be a nice crowd, and that is a good crowd. I mean, and they are respectful.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm sure Bobby knows that. And it's a setting. I mean, I'm surprised that he's doing it, but if there was a setting that he could pull it off, that's it.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. That is for sure. Clay Henry, Hogs Illustrated publisher. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Clay. We'll catch up with you on Friday. All right,
thanks,
my man.
Guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We phrase it as "What's Your Beef Wednesday," but all it is just what are you mad about today? Because everybody wakes up with some sort of grievance that they want to discuss or vent or anything like that. Especially, and I feel like it's a perfect day on Wednesday, Tommy. Wednesdays are the perfect day to do it because you've already gone through the stresses of Monday, you've already gone through the stresses of Tuesday, and now you're just waiting for the weekend. And that's why we picked Wednesday. So you're usually, I think it's science. I'm not going to just quote a study or anything, but science, that most frustrating day for everybody is on Wednesday. So that's what we're going to do. So me and Tommy are going to give our grievances on who we're beefing with or what we're beefing with today here in this segment. And then we will get to all of yours. If you want to call or text in the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We'll get to all of yours around 8:35 this morning. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
No, man, I'm pissed. All y'all take this down. I'm pissed, man.
What's Your Beef Wednesday? Presented by Breeden RV and Power Sports, home of maintenance for life.
All right, so What's Your Beef Wednesday, presented by Breeden RV and Power Sports. Up front, no hassle pricing. Every trailer RV heavily discounted with savings on new travel trailers and new motorhomes. Home of the maintenance for life, a place where customers become their friends. Monthly service specials, great selection of pre-owned trailers and motorhomes off Highway 64 between Van Buren and Alma, where dreams become reality. Let Breeden RV and Power Sports start your adventure at Breeden's RVs. .com. All right, Tommy, I normally kick it off, so I'm going to have you go first. Age before beauty here. You give us who or what you're beefing with today.
Travel can always provide plenty of opportunities to fill up the What's Your Beef Wednesday segment.
Of course.
And I've been doing some traveling around the wonderful state we all call home here in Arkansas recently. And if you're going to the good parts of the state, that generally involves some two-lane highways, right?
That's right.
Usually involves you getting, you know, off the beaten path a little bit, not just staying on I-49 or I-40 and hitting your exit. So I've been on some of these two-lane roads recently, and this is just an ongoing thing that we all struggle with. You get behind that car that's doing 53 and a 55. They're really respecting the law. But then you get to the you get that quarter mile you can pass, right, John? And you know it's coming up. It's 3 miles away. And the car that's doing 53... then guns it when you get to the passing lane. And they stay in the left lane, and now they go from 53 to 73 overnight. You know, just in the blink of an eye. Why do they do that? They drive 53 when you can't get around them because there's too many curves. And then when it's finally time for me to get around them and actually get on with my life, they gun it. I don't, is this a problem that only I encounter, or is this something that you can feel the frustration of as well?
No, I encounter it, man. I encounter it. And it's funny you bring it up because, once again, you do this sometimes where it's something I beef with, but I'm only mad about it when it happens, and then I forget about it about an hour or so later. But when you bring it up, I'm like, yes, absolutely, because this happens to me. I just never remember it to use it for what's my beef. But I'm glad you're doing it because, yes, I run into that same exact problem.
So this is a frustration of mine because I drive from up to Mountain Home a lot. You know, you get on 62, 412, particularly between Harrison and Mountain Home. There's not a lot of opportunities to pass. Between Huntsville and Harrison's another area. Between Y City and Hot Springs. These are some roads I travel frequently. And it's just like I came to Hot Springs this morning. I was driving yesterday. Same issue. You get to a passing place, and the person, it's just like, it's almost like a middle finger to you. So, I don't know. This drives me nuts.
Well, like I said, I guarantee you're not the only one dealing with that, but that's a solid one. All right, Tommy, I'm going to go ahead and give mine. It's not necessarily sports-related. In fact, it's not at all sports-related, but I got to make sure that I have your permission to do this. Can I criticize Disney?
Why would I care?
I mean, we're an ESPN station. ESPN's owned by Disney. I just want to make sure that there's no, like, I'm not going to have, you know, people in sunglasses show up at our front door here if I criticize Disney. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and criticize Disney then. Listen, I am a big movie guy. I love movies. I've seen more movies than I can count. I love quoting movies, and there's just a bunch of movies that, old movies especially, that I grew up with that I love. And this isn't just a Disney problem. It's a Hollywood problem in general, but Disney's really taking it to a next level. These reboots and these remakes of movies are getting out of hand. They absolutely are getting out of hand. None of them, and I mean none of them, are ever even close to being as good as the original of any of these movies they remake. I mean, you name it. Now, I'm not saying that they're all terrible, but they're never as good. The only one I can think of maybe is True Grit, because I thought the remake of True Grit was really, really good. Thanks to the Coen brothers for that. Yeah.
You know where that was filmed at, right? Or a good part of it.
Yeah, right here in the River Valley, Fort Smith, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great movie. And both of them with John Wayne and what the Coen brothers did is great. So it can be done. But I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. And these live-action remakes that Disney has decided to take on, whether it's the Beauty and the Beast, the Lion King, which is the most atrocious thing I've ever seen in my life, and they're doing more and more and more of this, it just once again furthers the idea that all Disney is about money. I know that's crazy, but they're a business, and I get it. But it's just, it's so lazy, and it's so terrible. And I watched The Lion King, the remake, because the original one was one of my favorites. I mean, Tommy, I know that you were a little older than me, but you remember how it was a phenomenon. It was a great movie that even adults enjoyed. So it's just, they remade it, and it's not even anywhere close to the original magic. And it frustrates me. And not only are they doing this, but with this new Disney app that they're coming out with called Disney Plus, where you'll have access to all of their programming and all their classics and ESPN and all this stuff, they're remaking Home Alone. Home Alone. Stop. There is enough creativity out there, folks, and you in Hollywood. I know you're listening, but there is enough creativity out there for you to make original movies. Stop remaking movies. People who go and see movies, stop going and seeing remake movies so they stop making money on them, so they stop making them. I just feel like every year, the majority of the movies, like 90% of them, either one, I have zero interest in seeing because the story is weird, or two, it's a remake, a reboot, a sequel, or something. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And as someone who loves movies, it's frustrating to me because I used to enjoy going to the movie theater. I used to enjoy paying $80 for popcorn and a drink. I used to enjoy those things and seeing stuff that's original. And I'll still go. You know, I'll still see. I saw some of the Marvel movies, which I enjoy because those were original. I enjoyed that. I mean, there's some other movies, too. I'm a big fan of, you know, suspense and action. I'll see movies. I'll still do that. But the amount of remakes and reboots and sequels and stuff, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I feel like all the creativity in Hollywood is completely and totally out the window. And this latest thing with Disney, not only are they doing all these live action remakes, but they're redoing Home Alone. Sorry, can't get on board with it. I'm out. That's what I'm beefing with.
Do you think we have movie theaters as we know it now in 10 years?
No, not as we know now. Not as we know now. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the home viewing, much like college football struggling, I think movie theaters are going to struggle because it's just going to be too easy to download that baby at home, watch it in 4K, 8K, whatever. I think that's, you know, people will not go to movie theaters 15 years from now. Not like they do now.
Yeah. Well, and I've always wondered about, you know, just how is the movie industry going to look in 10 to 15 years in general, not just from the movie theater perspective, but, you know, the type of movies, because as we've gone on, it seems like people, it's all here. And here's another thing that I wanted to add into that. I feel like there's also a reason they're doing reboots and sequels and stuff is because they're safe. A lot of people feel like if they go yep. outside of the box, they offend people, or it's a matter that's not going to be well received on social media for the backlash. They do it because it's safe. And they don't want to ever be criticized. They don't ever want to be panned. They don't want Rotten Tomatoes and all the people saying how bad their movie is. It's just people can't handle criticisms anymore in general. And I think the movie industry is another one. So it's like, oh, if people criticize a sequel, oh, but here's the thing, it was a sequel or it's a reboot. It's not going to be as good as the original. It almost gives them a built-in excuse. And again, I love movies. I love the movie-going experience. But for it to be done that way, it's just, I hate it. I hate it. So I'll still be a sucker, though, and I'll still see some movies here and there. But please, for all that is holy, have the remakes and reboots stop. They're never as good as the originals. Real quick, Tommy, before we get out of here, I just want your idea on this. What's the one movie that you would actually get, like, physically angry if they tried to remake? Is there one that they haven't done yet that you would get, like, irate about?
Well, I mean, so you're talking about one without a sequel? I mean, even if it, like Caddyshack, for instance, or Major League, two of my favorite movies. They've done sequels to both of those, and they were terrible. But you're talking about remaking the original. Like Caddyshack, how could you remake Caddyshack without Rodney Dangerfield? Without Chevy Chase being the young Ty Webb in that movie? But the
Bill Murray
in that movie made it. So Yeah, Bill. I mean, Judge Schmelz. There's, you know, so yeah, Caddyshack would be one that would just you. There's no way you could pull it off.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, no. I'm feeling the same way. I feel the same way about like Animal House. It's like some of those old classic comedies just don't need to be remade. So stop remaking movies, please.
You know, they tried to remake Vacation this year, or a year ago, or not this year, but. And that was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and I like me some Christina Applegate, but that was just terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
I just need to stop. Come up with your own ideas, folks. It's out there. It's creative. You can do it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.